Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That again, ladies and gentlemen, was the voice of Brian Brown, our magnanimous founder, who's now moved off to the great radio show in the sky, creator of Briefly. Every week, we strive to live up to his high standards of hosting a discussion of current events laced with empathy, intelligence, humor, and, of course, progressive persuasion. Although Brian's concept is less is more, more or less, in reality, you can never really have enough of Brian's magic in your life.
Oh, that's for sure.
Around the Zoom info space again this week are some old hands you know well. Former airline pilot, treetop landing aficionado, recovering back surgery patient, and West Texas devotee, Truman O'Brien. Truman, should I say welcome back?
Yeah, I guess. Well, welcome back. Back. The back is not back yet. It's coming.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully that your back will join us soon in full.
I hope so.
Full recovery mode. Also joining us today is advocate, arbitrator, mediator, Fulbright specialist, former law professor, and former Washington State Assistant Attorney General Craig Bellis, who is now returned from his secret mission of last week. Craig, what are you allowed to tell us about your week away?
There's only so much, actually, I can't tell you about the SR-71 Blackbird pilot, actually astronaut, that I ran into last week, who let the cat out of the bag and told me what the true top speed of that airplane was.
Oh, my.
Yes. The government says they declassified and they said it was 3.5 plus speed of sound. And he told me what the plus was. So.
Wow.
But it's good to be back. I'll tell you more in a minute about my little trip.
All right. Astounding. And so for you two treetop landing aficionados, I spent a little bit of time last week in the Olympic Peninsula in a place called Tull Canyon, in which in 1952, a B-17 returning from a rescue mission landed in the middle of a blizzard with no radio. And it's sort of amazing. Any other place they could have put the plane down would have resulted in everybody losing their lives, but only three of the crew failed to survive. So, treetop landings are a thing. Hey, yeah, let's see. Just to note, historian Skipper the Vachon, a president of the Vachon Heritage Museum and Guardian of the Galaxy, Bruce Hallman, he is not apparently going to be able to join us this week. We understand, dear listeners, that rest assured, he is at this very moment saving us from some foul force of destruction. So we'll keep you posted. I would also like to welcome this week our special small talk guest, Jason Johnson, the executive director of Vachon Household. Thank you, Jason, for joining us, and I hope you're doing well.
I am. Thank you. Really good to be with you.
Likewise. And we crossed paths at the Strawberry Festival. You were setting up a booth. I said, Vachon Household, we need to talk. So, and therefore, here we are. So wonderful to have you on the show today. Let's see. In case you're wondering, my name is Kevin Jones, Indivisible Vachon and Vachon Climate Action Group, who we collectively, those two groups, strive to create a livable planet overseen by a government that we can all appreciate or at least tolerate. All right. Before we dive into small talk, let's invite a moment of introspection from our Vachon world. Craig, you said you've been out of state traveling around and you hinted you can tell us more. What happened?
Well,
what were we up to?
I had a nice trip back to northern Ohio, to Lorain County, one of the blue counties in Ohio, and for a high school reunion. I have a real active high school. It was wonderful. There were 150 in the class. Unfortunately, we've lost 30, but 80 individuals show up regularly for these. That's 80 actual, classmates, not their spouses. So we had a wonderful time, 3-4 days of celebrating. Various settings. And then I drove down one of the, Underground Railroad routes backwards to Cincinnati to the Freedom Center, the Underground Railroad Freedom Center Museum in in Cincinnati, which I would highly recommend. Quite a moving, if you haven't been there, quite a moving display. It really brings it to life. So that was those were some of the highlights of the trip. We had the, as I put in one of my Facebook posts, we had the drinking gourd at our back as we drove down to Cincinnati.
Cool. All right, and that I take it is a good thing.
Well, we weren't trying to follow the drinking gourd; we were going backwards, so it was a good thing.
All right. Truman, since your back injury has restricted your ability to get around town, I'm wondering what new couch potato entertainment you've discovered.
Well, as Brian Brown would say, go Mariners. So I've been watching a lot of Mariners. but I did have a big outing this week, two outings. I actually got to go over to my cousin's house for a shower. Man, I'm telling you, that was a highlight of my week. So, but that's about nice. It, man. I'm telling you, it's the bed, the bathroom, a little bit of lunch, and the computer, and that's it, man. Why in the Mariners, of course.
Okay. Well, who else, really? Yeah. So, we hope to hear more, and hopefully, you'll.
I did watch the beginning of the House of Dragons, though. House of the Dragon.
What'd you think of that first one?
That was spectacular.
I have not seen that yet. Yeah, I like have them all load up on me so I can, you know, binge on them.
Well, that's what we did with the first one. But it's right up there to the quality of the of Game of Thrones. So very good. Very good.
All right. Well, hey, Jason, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to share a little bit about how your week went last week. But before that, I have to tell you that when I was driving through Vashon Town, I was coming in from the library, heading south, needed to go to the post office. So I take that little right turn, you know, by where Essentials 4 used to be, and you jog through the neighborhood, take a left. And right there in the corner was a recent rain had left a puddle in the road and on the side of the road. And that turned into, it was like the Olympic-sized swimming pool for the birds. And man, were they ever having fun. I had to stop and watch, and there had to have been, when I came around the corner the first time, there must have been like 20 birds, you know, diving into the water. And then, so I stopped, and they would fly away. Then there's birds would be circling, and another 10 would drop in, and then two or three more. I would just say, on a warm, dry August like we normally have, you know, take a 5-gallon bucket of water, pour it out somewhere in a basin in your yard, and just see how many birds you can attract into your bird bath. It was so much fun to watch.
Cool.
So, hey, Jason. So, how did you enjoy your time away last week? What kept you busy?
Yeah, thanks. We've had back-to-back out-of-town guests. First guest from New York City, and then two friends from Los Angeles came to visit. And I tell you, you know, there's nothing that helps you appreciate the beauty of the Northwest than when people come to visit and you get to show it, you know. moving through your usual day-to-day, we just sort of, you know, it's easy to take this place for granted, you know. But when folks come and visit you and you get to take them around, I took my friends from Los Angeles to a couple of the parks here on Vashon, did a really nice hike through Island Center. And anyway, it just gives you a new appreciation for how lucky we all are to live here. And they really enjoyed it. They, I tell you, they still text me about the, it was like a maple bar, cronut maple bar at the Vashon Bakery that they're still still texting me about. So anyway, Vashon made an impression.
All right. Glad to hear Sam is still turning out goodies at the bakery that people can admire. Yeah, true. I see Craig.
It just reminded me of a quick story. Jason, I know exactly what you're talking about. I had a relative come out from southern Indiana. I had never been to the West Coast, and we took him out on our boat. And the mountain was just out at the very top. And I kept pointing over from the boat, and I go, oh, the mountain's almost out. And he'd look, and he did nothing, you know, nothing at all. And then it was one of those days where, bam, it all came out, the entire mountain, all the way down to the water almost. And I go, oh, now the mountain's all the way out. And I thought he almost fell over in the boat. He thought the top of the mountain was a cloud, and I was referring to the ridge over, you know, by Tacoma. And when he finally saw this thing, he'd never been west of the Mississippi, so he'd never seen a mountain like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a similar incident years ago. I had a friend visiting from Spain, and at that time I was a park commissioner. So I took him around of all the Vashon parks of the park district. And finally, after seeing several parks, he said, "Truman, why do you have parks?" And I explained to him all this public benefit, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And then he said, "Well, but Truman, why do you have parks?" So I explained it all again, you know, and finally he asked one more time. And I said, "Well, but Charlie, Juan Carlos, Charlie, what are you asking?" He said, "You live in a park. Why do you need park?"
Yes, I have to say, when my sister brought her boyfriend from the Virgin Islands to visit, when he first saw the mountain, he was driving, and it was like, "We need to stop." And he stopped the car, and it was like 10 minutes. He just had to soak it all in. So, yeah. Jason, you've hit on a theme that is so ubiquitous with us here. Wonderful. But also, another theme has to do with housing and Vashon household and affordable housing. And of course, for those of us who own a home and saw our property evaluations come out, we all know that housing is not getting any cheaper on Vashon. But Jason, tell us how you got involved with Vashon Household. Why is it important? And what do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, thanks. Again, just appreciate being with you and having time on your show. Just as a quick background, I am a social worker. I'm originally from the Denver area and came to Seattle in 1997 after getting my MSW in Madison, Wisconsin. And my work has always centered on housing affordability and housing access for people who need it. And I've worked for nonprofits here locally. I've also spent about 16 years in the public sector working for the city of Kent and the city of Seattle. Most recently as the director of the Human Services Department there. And, I've gotten to know a number of organizations that do this work. I've gotten to learn about, various different models across the country and internationally from sort of design and programmatic innovations that really make housing, of course, affordable, but also safe and housing of quality. And Vashon Household is one of those organizations that just continues to innovate, continues to lean in and ensure that the people who live in our rental properties, as well as in community land trust home ownership homes, have affordable, safe, quality housing. And so I was really drawn to the history of good work by this organization and really blown away by this current board of directors, a really dynamic group of Islanders who are committed to the mission of housing affordability, but really are a working board. I mean, they really get their hands in dirty and get really involved in the success of this organization. So those two things were really attractive. Long, stable, successful history of developing and maintaining affordable housing here on Vashon Island, paired with a group of really dynamic, committed leaders. That was sort of a recipe that I couldn't turn away. I considered, I live in West Seattle. I'm not an Islander. I live about a half mile from the Fauntleroy ferry dock, so I come over every day. It really, geography aside, it was an opportunity to join a really strong organization and join a really good team in the board of directors that I really couldn't pass up. So I say that all in background, but I think that, I also want to just share that I also am someone who likes a good sort of nut to crack, a good challenge. And Vashon Island has really unique affordable housing challenges. There are, in some ways, it's sort of its own housing market. But in, part of what is challenging when we think about affordable housing, especially affordable housing development, is that it's tough to do. There's not a lot of zoning that incentivizes multifamily housing or the development of even sort of cottages. There's, land code appropriately so, and very supported land code that has that supports single family on large acreage. It's the rural identity of this island is important to the people who live here, and so finding a way to develop the kind of housing that we could build and make affordable. The kind of housing that seniors and our workforce need in order to maintain their continued life and lifestyle on Vashon is a real challenge, and something that I'm 5 months on the job now, but something that also was attractive to try and figure out this really unique solution to what we could do here on the island.
Well, one of those approaches, I understand, is a survey that just recently circulated. And I'll do a shout out to Kim Goforth only because I received the survey from Kim and her outreach. But a survey which included questions about folks' interest in renting space in their homes. Curious what you've learned from the survey, or and do listeners still have an opportunity to participate in that?
Thank you. Yeah. Home share, the survey that we put out was really about home sharing. And, home share is a model that's used in many communities here in Washington State. We are really looking closely at a home share program in Tacoma that has shown great success. But it's a way to take advantage of existing inventory. You don't have to build a thing. There are homes and homeowners on Vashon Island who maybe have more space than they can manage. Maybe they have a home that they can no longer afford due to fixed income. Maybe they want the social supports of having someone in the home now that their adult children have moved on. But it's there's a variety of reasons why a homeowner may want to invite someone in to rent a room or rent space in their home. And what we wanted to do as part of, thinking about this program, again, a very simple program that's just, someone with space renting to someone who needs space. We wanted to see if it was feasible here on the island. And so we launched a community survey. We had 250 fully completed surveys come back to us. And what we heard loud and clear is that, yes, this program is feasible. There are both the homeowners who have space to share, and there are individuals in need of housing who would be willing to rent a room. And so that really we asked a bunch of other questions just about what people's current situations were. But at the crux of it, we really wanted to know, was there an inventory of housing available? And were there individuals who would participate in a home share program? And the answer on both sides was yes.
Fantastic. There's also the Vashon Maury Island Community Council Affordable Housing Committee, which is very active in the community. Could you tell us to what extent you Vashon Household and the committee are coordinating their efforts?
Yeah, so I was introduced, I introduced myself at the Vashon Maury Island Community Council meeting pretty much right away. I think it was at their May meeting, and learned about their structure and sort of what they were attempting to do and convey to King County. And so, the I think, most appropriate place for our efforts to centralize was on this affordable housing committee. So I was able to meet with the committee chair, Morgan Brown, and really work out with him what an early partnership between Vashon Households efforts and the efforts of the Affordable Housing Committee could be. And so I've, you know, at this point, again, 5 months in, I've been attending those meetings, trying to offer as much information to that group about Vashon Household, our current projects, and what we hope for the future. But I really see that as a group that can help Vashon Household and really help all of the efforts to increase affordable housing on Vashon Island to think through and advocate for and be in the community as a voice of support for our work currently and that in the future. So I'm really, you know, especially in the absence of a municipal government or a municipal sort of government structure, I think having the council and having the Affordable Housing Committee in place is really important. I want to make sure that I'm, you know, always participating and offering a bit of leadership to that group as that group moves forward. But really happy to be plugged into that committee structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Craig.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, years ago when I was the president of the former community council for many years, I had a discussion with then executive Ron Sims. And I said to Ron, I go, we need more affordable housing on Vashon. And he said, well, get on it. And he says, if you got any ideas, let me know. And so between Vashon Household and the new community council, it sounds like you're on it. So thank you, Jason.
That's the hope. I think that's exactly what we all hope this structure can provide is a way to be in direct communication with the county and county leadership about the affordable housing needs on the island. So really happy to be plugged into that group.
You know, speaking of go ahead, Truman.
Yeah, I just want to throw out as full disclosure. I was the president of the board of the Vashon Community Care for a number of years, mm-hmm. and our need for affordable housing there was unbelievable. I mean, we had people commuting over from Kitsap because there was no affordable housing here for them. And in fact, we paid for their ferry fare in order to get them here because they could afford to live over in, you know, Kitsap, but they couldn't afford to live here. That's the background for the question. My question, though, is you're talking about zoning, and I know that in zoning, many zoning areas, you can add an ADU pretty easily to your property. But what I don't know is, could you use that ADU as a rental for low income housing? Would that be allowed for that unit?
Yeah, in some cases, you know, we're actually a number of respondents to our home share survey asked that very question. You know, they had a ADU on property or guest house above a garage or something like that, and wondered about renting that versus having someone rent a room inside their home. I think that's possible from, you know, from Vashon Household standpoint, we would just want to make sure that that's a quality unit, that it has everything the individual needs, that they have access to, you know, kitchen, bathrooms, you know, that it's not substandard in any way. And so that would be our primary focus. But those existing ADUs on properties, you know, from our perspective, absolutely can be rented.
Yeah, and I believe that's an auxiliary dwelling unit, if I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
Oh, sorry, I should have clarified that.
2 years as a pilot, commercial pilot, yeah, all those.
Acronyms. And I just followed suit. There's a lot of acronyms in housing and in social work, too, so.
Sorry. Well, I was just going to say an MSW, I believe, is a master's in social work. Is that correct, Jason?
Correct. Yes.
Fantastic. Yeah. Speaking of sort of the regulatory world and zoning and those and the council and all, you know, I think that our listener now is aware that the community council is moving to a 501c4 status, which means that they can basically lobby our elected officials. And Jason, you mentioned we don't have any essential like government in control of services, taxation, et cetera, on the island. But the council is working to be set up so that they can represent that interest or that concern of Vashon Mori Islanders. I'm curious at this point, Jason, do you see that there are any specific legislative or regulatory changes being sought by Vashon household at this point?
Yeah, thanks for that question. And thanks for the question in the context of the previous one as it relates to the council. I think that this change and allowing the council and the Affordable Housing Committee the ability to advocate, especially at the state level, will be really important and will honestly help organizations like Vashon Household feel less alone in our advocacy. Supportive of that change and excited to engage with the committee on what our community legislative agenda could be. For Vashon Household, there are really two primary asks that we have of the state. And, you know, we had an opportunity just about a month ago to have Senator Joe Wynn come to Vashon Household, tour our properties, go and see a number of our rental units as well as our home ownership programs on community land trust property. We talked about two things. One was our workforce. Truman, you just described this commuting challenge because of the lack of affordable housing. And a workforce across the board, from the school district to small businesses, even large employers like Sawbones, are really struggling to keep the employees, keep the skill that they need to keep their doors open and to keep business running, because there's not the housing on the island that their employees need. Long commutes, expensive commutes become the norm for individuals working on Vashon. And so thinking about affordable housing for Vashon Island's workforce is a primary goal for Vashon Household. But there's not a funding stream that supports those efforts. Typically, public funds, especially from the state, are for the lowest income individuals and developing housing for those seniors, people living with a disability, people on fixed incomes who are typically at 30% or 50% of area median income. But our workforce needs affordable housing too. And so what we'd like the state to do is include up to 120% of area median income to qualify for affordable housing projects. So that's a discussion that we had with Senator Wynn when he was here on Vashon, and one we'll continue to have with state leadership. The other is that we just need more. And I know that's not a very inventive tactic when it comes to legislation, but literally, we have a development in the pipeline thanks to county and state funds being developed on 188th and Vashon Highway. It's going to be another 40 units, but we need so much more than that in order to affordably house the individuals in need on the island. So we're really asking if there can be any sort of new development or acquisition funds available, sort of targeted at Vashon Island. We're also, I just about 2 months ago started working with executive directors of housing organizations at other rural islands. So islands in the San Juans, Whidbey, Bainbridge, they all have programs similar to Vashon Household. And we're trying to collectively help the state legislature understand the unique challenges that exist on a rural island. Some of that is centered on island workforce, as I described earlier, but some of that is really just based simply on the fact that we don't have the housing infrastructure we need. And so trying to get legislators to understand that and set aside money to help support island communities developing more affordable housing options for people.
Thank you. I sure hope as we go forward and with that community agenda that you described, that we can make sure that our listeners understand where they can make an appropriate phone call to an appropriate legislator to help advocate for some of these changes that we're looking for. Truman, I think you have a comment.
I do. And one of the things that I need to understand better about Vashon household is that, can you give us a breakdown of the structure? I mean, I know that, you know, the whole thing is for affordable housing, but do you own places that you rent, and also the rent to the ownership? I know, like Rosebollen, where people actually own those. So what is the differentiation between those, and what kinds of facilities do you have currently?
Sure. And I should have included that in my introduction. So thanks for the question. So Vashon Household has 7 communities here on Vashon Island. 4 are rental properties, and 3 are community land trust home ownership. And so for each of the 4 rental properties, each one is a little different, but for the most part, they were developed and are being managed to house special populations, seniors, people living with disabilities, but people that are really needing a significant subsidy on their rent in order to remain housed. All 4 of those rental properties are in the sort of town core. And then we also have, as I mentioned, the 3 community land trust home ownership programs. We have 5 houses at the co-housing. There's the community at Rosebollen, and then the community known as Sunflower. Again, all 3 of those are established here in the town core. The home ownership programs are, we own the land. So Vashon Household is the landowner. And then the homeowner owns the home. And there's a homeowners association that helps to sort of manage the community. But each home is made available for a homeowner who is at 80% area median income or lower. And that individual has to get their own, have their own financing, their own lending. But we need to income qualify them as being low income, and help them through that process to purchase a home. And then the home itself stays affordable because we're able to sort of formulate or schedule out exactly how quickly and by how much the assessed value of that home increases over time. And we do that based on CPI, but the sort of ceiling of that is 3.5% per year. And so the home itself always is creating assets, creating equity for the individual who owns it, but is also able to stay affordable for the next buyer.
Yeah, because you're limiting that top, right? You're limiting that by that 3.5%. Okay.
Correct. Yeah, there are guardrails in place to manage the increase of that asset, but also it's sort of bottoms at 0, so the individual also doesn't lose the value of the home. So there's it's a great program. There are community land trust programs on Orcas Island, really good ones in Seattle, out on the east side of the state. We're plugged into a network of community land trusts who do affordable home ownership. And Vashon Household has really got a great program in place here on the island.
And the new 40-unit one you're talking about on 188th, is that going to be homeowner or is that going to be rental?
Nope, those are going to be rental properties. That program is known as Island Center Homes. It'll be 40 single-room occupancy around sort of other larger common use spaces. Those will be for individuals who are below 50, below 30% of area median income, will be for veterans as well as people who have formerly experienced homelessness. So again, sort of on in alignment with our current rental properties, it'll really be targeted at special populations and individuals who are living in extreme poverty.
Okay. All right. Jason, I thank you again so much for your time to share with us the work that Vashon Household is doing, and now with you as the recently installed executive director, where you want to take the organization. Thanks for the insights. Make sure to let our listeners know how they can get involved with your work if they choose.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, right on the top, I want to first just say thank you. You know, one way to be involved is to know that we exist, to know that there is a strong, competent, affordable housing organization in your community. And Vashon Households is one of those. Second, I want to invite all listeners to our fundraiser. It's happening this Friday at Dig Deep at 5:30. And it's an event, it's a concert, it's a Battle of the Bands style concert and fundraiser where all of the proceeds will go to launching the HomeShare program. But there are, you know, many other ways that people can get involved. Of course, you can donate, and it's as easy as going to our website, vashonhousehold.org, and contributing, you know, whatever level makes sense for you. You can volunteer. We have a number of volunteer opportunities year-round where people can get involved with the organization. We want people to be vocal. We want people to say yes to affordable housing, yes in my backyard. And so when the time comes to be in communication with elected leaders, with your neighbors, as we plan as a community, say yes to affordable housing. Being vocal about that is a great source of support for Vashon Household. And then finally, we've been talking a lot about home share programming that we're trying to launch here on Vashon Island. Reach out if you have a home to share. If that's something of interest to you, if you have extra space in your home and want to share it with a renter, reach out, let us know, and we'd be happy to connect you to that program.
Fantastic. Fantastic opportunities. And of course, this Friday, Dig Deep, was it 5 o'clock?
5:30.
5:30, Battle of the Bands. Show up. Bring your wallet or your checkbook or your credit card or whatever you need to make sure to contribute to a very worthy cause.
Yeah, thank you, and Jason. Your dancing shoes. It's going to be a really good show.
There you go. Well, hey, and Jason, you're welcome to join us. We're going to go off with some wit and whimsy and some maybe sarcastic assessments of the national scene. So you may or may not want to be part of that, but hopefully you can certainly join us and stay on board if you'd like. Got about another 8 or 9 minutes, or another 8 minutes to go. I guess the first thing I want to ask is the Washington State Ferries redefining the definition of the word service when it comes to saying ferry service?
I think so. I was sitting on that ferry yesterday that was going to Southworth and sat there for half an hour and then told to get off. So that's one of the latest in the continuing saga.
Arg. Truman, you're blessed with not having to go anywhere.
Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I do have to go in on Friday. I'm having stitches removed, so I'm not looking forward to that trek overseas, as it were. So,
absolutely. Yeah, I woke up, I think it was yesterday, to a notification that one of the two boats was out of service and a list of, I don't know, a dozen or more sailings. And then later, the Southworth dock was out of service. So I guess, you know, if you're not sending boats over to South, you don't have a boat to go to Southworth, may as well work on the dock. So, hopefully this too shall pass, and we'll be back into enjoying
there transportation. There is talk of the bridge again. This sort of thing always brings up a discussion of the bridge. Just to go on the record, I'm not in favor of the bridge.
Yeah, as an early Vashon Islander, I brought up the topic of the bridge in my van pool, and they didn't leave me by the side of the road, but I'm sure it crossed their mind.
Yeah, you know, that's how to bring out the pitchforks and torches here on Vashon, is just start talking about bridge, you know.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I would like to at least dabble a little bit in the national scene. Senator McConnell has talked recently about a Republican candidate quality problem. And I think those he's probably referring to the candidates backed by the former president. And also the U.S. Senate increasingly likely to stay under Democratic control. And, you know, so we see some events. Truman, I'm wondering, your army buddies, and given McConnell's comment, are they sending hate mail now to McConnell, do you think?
You know, I haven't heard that, but I only have one thing to say. Herschel Walker. I mean, that says it all, does it not? I mean, if that's the quality of the candidates that these guys are digging up from the bottom of the barrel, I don't think the Democrats have a thing to worry about. Good Lord.
You never know.
Oh, I suppose.
Yeah. Lord. Herschel Walker does come to mind. The other thing that I was moved to comment on today was the race in Pennsylvania, Senate race in Pennsylvania, where John Fetterman is now definitely, the pundits are saying he is much more likely now to take that race. And all I could say was that Fetterman needs to get healthy, you know, which he can do. As you know, he had a stroke. But Oz, there's no way Oz is going to stop being Oz. So, you know, I think Fetterman has a built-in advantage there.
Yeah, it's true. It's a good point.
Yeah.
So the last thing I'll throw out for your consideration is the National Republican Senate Committee, the NRSC, which probably sounds something weird if you try to pronounce that. Apparently, they had $173 million after record fundraising. But now they're down to $28 million, at which point some Republican Senate contestees are claiming this has been a ripoff. It briefly, it's the Republicans. We've heard about like the inauguration for the former administration. Where's the money going? And are you surprised at all to hear it's gone?
I'm not surprised. I think there may have been a little cannibalization. There's an alleged billionaire out there that's collecting funds for his legal defenses from individuals. I'm not sure why a billionaire needs somebody to, you know, who doesn't make more than $30,000 a year to contribute to him. But no, but seriously, I guess there is some real cannibalization there from big donors that's going into the personal defense, legal defense. That assumes that the lawyers get paid.
if they can find lawyers who will actually.
Yeah. They're starting to say we want our money up front. So a
lawyer, probably Craig, in your experience, you know, have you ever considered that your decision on whether to accept a client is based on how their party affiliation is doing on fundraising for the upcoming election?
No.
In a word.
I haven't. But I would if I was asked, you know, under these circumstances. Although I would just say, no, I've got a built-in conflict. No.
There you go. Yeah. You got to find those exit ramps, don't you?
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I'm not a public service organization, and I can always say no. If I don't like the way somebody parts their hair, I can say, no, thank you. I'm busy. So
there you go. All right. In the couple of minutes we have left, what are your expectations of Liz Cheney now that she's lost her U.S. House primary election? But she said that she's going to do everything in her power to keep the former president from occupying the Oval Office again. What do you think? What's her plan? Any ideas?
I thought about that a little bit. I thought, well, what the heck can she do? But, you know, if she were to run as a third party candidate, she is going to split the Republican vote without a doubt. And just by doing that alone is going to increase the likelihood of a Democrat being elected.
And she doesn't have to run as a third party candidate. There's nothing in the Republican Party's rules that say she can't run as a Republican.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. Oh. Cheney 2024.
Yeah,
I like
there you
it.
Go. That's right. That's right. Any competent all right adult.
Well, let's get to our sign off here. For our guest Jason today, Bruce, who's away on travel, Truman, Craig, and myself, Kevin Jones, we hope you join us next Tuesday for the next edition of the Brown Briefly. And on that show at Small Talk, our guest is Don Marsh, who is one of the members of the Washington Clean Energy Coalition, who's going to be discussing the pending rate increase request by Puget Sound Energy. And this is the rate increase that is now opposed by Bob Ferguson, our attorney general, by the way. And if allowed to go forward, will make the recent inflation concerns seem tame. So I hope that you'll join host Craig Bellis, with guest Don Marsh, and the other Brieflys next week. Until then.
Thanks a lot.
Talk to you next week.